Hello and welcome to another episode of Podcast DX.
Another one.
The show that brings you interviews with people just like you whose lives were forever changed by a medical diagnosis. Of course, today's show, we don't have a people just like you. It's just people just like us. Anyway, I'm Lita.
Oh my gosh. I'm Ron.
Okay, good.
And I'm Jean Marie.
Collectively, we're the hosts of Podcast DX. On today's show, we are just going to talk amongst ourselves about the myriad of dangers that may be lurking in your freezer.
Or at your local restaurant or in the hospital.
That's correct.
They are lurking everywhere.
Yep. They're aliens.
They're not aliens.
No, we're talking about contaminated ice.
Okay.
And all the facts that we are discussing today came from studies reported by the National Institute of Health or are listed as FDA Food and Drug Administration requirements, as well as a story that was posted on the website foodsafety.com. But let's get into the problem with ice. The biggest problem with contaminants of ice are biofilms. Biofilms are a collection of microorganisms, mainly bacteria, growing together in a matrix of polymers secreted by the microorganisms. The associated slime formation is mold or fungus that accumulates from bacterial growth on surfaces constantly exposed to clinging water drops and warm temperatures. The biofilm may cause objectionable flavors and odors in ice. Once well developed, biofilms establish themselves on surfaces. Cleaning and sanitation become much more difficult. Biofilms have a shielding effect on the bacterial cells that live within them. It is well known that normal cleaning and sanitation methods may not control or eliminate biofilms, but rather they must be physically removed or prevented from forming in the first place on surfaces. For instance, Listeria can be 1,000 times harder to eliminate if it is living in a protective biofilm and can be a continual course of pathogenic and spoilage organisms if not completely removed.
And I think we're all familiar with biofilms in things like dental plaque. So okay. That's a pretty well-known biofilm. Or the biofilm that forms in the tubes of a jacuzzi or something. Right. Not jacuzzi brand, but I guess any jetted tub.
Okay.
Right. So as it turns out, ice machines actually are an attractive place for these nasty little layers to develop. And once a biofilm forms, it's difficult to rid a surface of it. The article from Food Safety points out, quote, "It is well known that normal cleaning and sanitizing methods may not control or eliminate biofilms, but rather they must be physically removed or prevented from forming on surfaces," end quote. Unfortunately, ice machines are hard to clean and often the first thing to be overlooked. And I've seen this even when dining in the nicest fine dining establishments. In order to prevent biofilm from forming, Food Safety recommends cleaning ice machines on preferably a weekly schedule, but no less than monthly. But the FDA requires that ice machines be cleaned per manufacturer's suggestion, which is often only 2 to 4 times a year.
Oh.
Yeah, and sometimes that doesn't even happen. That gives you a whole new perspective on getting ice from, anywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they also state that 70% of ice machines' performance problems are associated with water supply through poor water quality, slow fill, or insufficient water supply. So in addition to possibly getting something from the biofilm, you could also be getting something from the water that they're utilizing to make the ice.
And I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't clean our ice machine or anything.
We replace it.
What?
We've had it replaced.
Once in 8 years.
No, twice.
Okay, twice in 8 years.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, we don't clean our ice machine and we put that ice in ice bags for your migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And it melts.
Mm-hmm.
Is it forming a biofilm inside of those ice bags?
It could be, but that's why we dry the ice bags in between, right?
Yeah.
And we usually dry them by a window, so they're getting the UV that can kill some bacteria. Well, kills most bacteria. And also, you don't clean the ice machine. You also don't use the vacuum cleaner. So there's a lot of things that happen in this house that you're not aware of.
I have used the vacuum cleaner. I know how to use it.
You did use it the other day. I didn't know what the noise was. The ice machine gets cleaned.
What were we talking about again?
And after you clean it, you run through a couple batches and dump those.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Good to know.
Yeah. We also have specialized filters for our ice.
Okay.
Actually, I'm glad to know this as well. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. And many people, new refrigeration systems or fridge freezer systems, often have a filter. And you should know where that filter is and how often you should be replacing it.
Yeah. All kidding aside, I mean, I don't know that about you guys, but before this episode, I really didn't think that much about getting ice.
We didn't think anything of it until our cousin was in the hospital for an organ transplant, and we said, could we give her some ice chips? And they said, oh, no. They said, there isn't even an ice machine on this floor. And we said, oh, well, can I go to another floor? And they said, oh, no. There's a possibility of getting bacteria, viruses, fungus, and mold. And she, because she was, her immune system was suppressed, she was susceptible to getting sick. So they don't even permit them to have ice. They only can have sterilized water. They can't even have water from the typical water pitcher you would get at a hospital. They have to have separate sterilized bottles of water.
Yeah.
Next time I go out, Coke, no ice.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow. Well, even then, are they cleaning them? Oh, but anyway.
Yeah. It's
and sometimes, like, I don't want to get us in trouble, but I've been to a hotel where they offer complimentary breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to get juice, and your juice machine, you're supposed to take the nozzles off at night and clean them. It had little gnats. And those gnats will reproduce often in drains or toilets, and then also go towards sweet things like that nozzle. So that really...
I think my diet starts today.
Well, and certain soft serve ice cream machines are notorious for not being cleaned because it takes so long. So, yeah. So machinery and equipment needs to be cleaned and maintained. And if it's not, it can be the result, result in a whole world of trouble. Just as, farm workers need to have bathroom access. Otherwise, you end up in farms with animals, especially like ruminant animals, need to be separated from farms that are growing vegetation, because otherwise there can be cross-contamination and bacterial infections from that as well.
Interesting. That actually leads into kind of what I was going to get to regarding the FDA.
Okay.
The regulatory community, again, the FDA, has become more aware of the potential for contamination and is now asking questions as part of the inspection process regarding the frequency and the methods of routine sanitation and operations and maintenance that are in accordance with the manufacturer's recommendations. So when ice machines are inspected, it is clear that many are not cleaned and sanitized very often, if ever at all.
Mm-hmm.
That's disheartening.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, mold and slime buildup inside them is quite visible. And now numerous studies show that the dirty contaminated ice is more common than people actually think.
Well, and can I ask a question?
Huh.
Have you guys ever been to a hotel
where
there's an ice machine and it's in a closed, hot room?
Yeah.
Because there's not proper ventilation for that machinery. And it has so it's in a hot, humid, smelly room. And you're like, oh, this isn't good. Sorry.
Well, I am really starting to picture and think about ice much differently now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think because we think if it's cold, it's safe.
Right.
Cold, it's clear.
Right. But even as they've said in the Arctic, the melting ice contains bacteria and viruses.
That's true. And millions of years old, and it's going to come back to life.
And they can be very robust.
Okay. All workers who handle ice should be taught the following precautions. Wash hands before obtaining ice. Hold the ice scoop by the handle and do not touch other parts of the scoop.
Right. So if you're dropping that scoop back in the bin, then whatever this part you held with your hand is contaminated. It should have a separate scoop holder.
Wouldn't it be helpful to wear gloves, though?
If you take them off, you should wash your hands too, but yeah.
Do not handle the ice with your hands. Do not return unused ice to ice storage chest or ice machine. The following practices should be part of the facility operation. Keep access doors to the ice chests and ice machines closed, except when removing ice. Well, now you were saying if you keep it closed, it's keeping the warmth in.
No, I'm saying the room it's in. So okay. If you have an ice machine in a separate closed off room with no ventilation and a solid door, like a door that you're, not the ice machine itself, but the door to access that room is solid.
Okay.
And it should be a ventilated door. It should have, air supply going around the machine because those machines get hot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have to because anything that refrigerates
right.
is so transmitting
heat.
So
if you're not considering ventilation, then there's an issue.
Maybe we could go into business and just tour around and go to different hotels and do a test on all of them, and they'd pay us to check their stuff.
I know, but I'd never go to a hotel again.
Okay. Ice scoops, back to the ice scoops, okay. should be smooth and protected against contact with contaminated surfaces such as floors, access door handles, service carts, and non-food contact surfaces, to cite a few examples. Scoops should be kept on an uncovered stainless steel, impervious plastic, or fiberglass tray when not in use. The tray and the scoop should be cleaned daily in the kitchen dishwasher.
Yeah, I guess if you have the handle up, then bacteria can be just sliding down into the scoop too.
All right.
Yeah, okay.
Remove all extraneous equipment and items from around the ice storage chest and ice making machines, and if possible, limit access to them to only your cleanest workers. Clean the ice storage chest on preferably a weekly schedule, but no less than monthly. Consider, oh my God, you know what just dawned on me? What
no.
about water buffaloes?
You're not talking about the animal, right?
No.
Oh, yeah, those should be cleaned.
They have to have slime.
Wait, when you're saying water buffalo, what are you referring to?
The towable water tanks that we had when we went to...
That was part of their job, was to clean those.
Okay.
And they would sample those.
Okay, all right. Consider a routine microbiologic sampling of the ice and ice contact surfaces of the machine. Although this is not necessary, it can provide guidance on cleaning frequency and methods.
Yeah, hours of fun with microbiology. Manufacturers of ice machines recognize the biofilm phenomenon and have engineered units that minimize its formation and facilitate its removal. Clean ice storage bins, and sanitary handling practices are key to improving product quality and preventing the spread of illness and disease.
Okay.
The ice bins themselves are also supposed to be emptied, washed, and bleached at the end of every night, but especially in the summer. But this is difficult to do. It means dumping out the ice, often when it's in the shorter supply, and risking the expense of running out the next day and having to have more delivered at a high cost. Instead, restaurants will often fill the bins up at the end of the night so that they are mostly full in the morning, and the machines have time to fill up again overnight, doubling the ice supply. Again, this is a place where tons of bacteria can grow.
And now all of the complaints about not getting ice in Europe, maybe we understand why there's no ice in Europe.
Maybe they're smarter than us.
Yeah.
This is to say nothing for the unsanitary grossness that can happen when hands aren't washed, when scoops get old and pitted. Perfect place for little collections of bacteria to nest in.
Oh, little bacteria nests.
Or when dishwashers break down and they're no longer become hot enough to sterilize glassware. Look, you don't need to move to Europe where the okay. drinks are famously uniced. And if you're a reasonably healthy person, you've almost certainly got nothing to fear. But if you or your dining companions have compromised immune systems or are elderly or very young, you might rethink that ice drink. Perhaps think about it like rare meat or raw seafood or over-easy eggs. There's a warning printed on menus about these type of items, and if you heed those, now could be the time to mentally fold ice into that warning.
That's great
idea.
Advice.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Maybe Ron can now go out and have an ice beverage. And there could be an extra warning for people who have ice cravings. This is payback is a pain.
Pagophagia.
Pagophagia is the medical term for compulsively consuming ice or ice drinks. Children and often pregnant women experience this, but it can occur to anyone. And many people who want to cool down or feel refreshed chew on ice or add it to a drink, and sucking on ice cubes can also help relieve dry mouth. However, continually consuming ice, freezer frost, or iced drinks can indicate an underlying condition that needs medical attention, and it can also damage your teeth. When a person compulsively craves ice or consumes ice, the medical term for this, as we said, is paraphagia, and it's a rare form of an eating disorder called pica. And people who may experience pica, maybe because they're depressed, have a learning disability, autistic, have schizophrenia, or have been diagnosed with schizophrenia, or pregnant. And then pica can also affect children who are experiencing or have experienced stress, neglect, or abuse. And a person with pica may have a compulsive craving for non-food items such as hair, dirt, chalk, paint, charcoal, or clay. And if these cravings are persistent or last for longer than 1 month, it is suggested that you see a doctor, as medical attention may be necessary. Pica is common in children and pregnant women, but really it can develop in anyone.
Well, some researchers have suggested a link between iron deficiency anemia and craving ice, but the underlying reasons remain unclear. For example, according to one study, about 4% of participants without iron deficiency anemia experienced compulsive ice chewing, only 4%. However, 56% of those with anemia had a compulsive ice chewing thing. So,
you got to wonder.
Yeah. Is there iron in our ice?
I don't think so.
People with anemia have low levels of red blood cells, which are essential for carrying oxygen around the body. In people with iron deficiency anemia, a lack of iron is responsible for the low levels in these cells. Mm-hmm. A person with any form of anemia may experience fatigue, pale skin, dizziness or lightheadedness, heart palpitations, breathlessness, chest pain, a swollen tongue, cold hands, feet, or both. One study that looked at people with iron deficiency anemia found that 13 of the 81 participants had symptoms of pagophagia, which is that pica, wanting to eat ice. Hmm. Taking iron supplements eliminated ice cravings in some of these individuals. Other research suggests that iron supplements may also provide relief from other pica symptoms. One theory about the link between anemia and pagophagia is that chewing the ice makes people with iron deficiency anemia feel more alert. Hmm. In 2014, there was a study, and people with iron deficiency anemia who chewed on ice performed better on tests for attention and response time. The researchers suggested that the coldness might increase blood flow to the brain by constricting blood vessels or activating the nervous system. Yeah, next time you take a test, put an ice bag on your head.
Yeah. Or have it taken in a freezing room.
Yeah. Excuse me, teacher, could I take this test in the cooler, please?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Again, Dominic got us back on track.
Okay.
Iron deficiency anemia may develop during pregnancy, menstruation, and breastfeeding. Researchers note that during these times, people have an increased risk of compulsive ice cravings. Well, we all know that, right? A lot of times.
I have never had an ice craving.
I've seen a lot of pregnant women that were chewing on ice just because it was something
cold. And also other forms of pica with pregnancy, right, like charcoal and chalk.
That I have not. But, well, yeah, you know what? You're right. Yeah, actually, I have seen that. Anyway, some people chew on ice to help cope with emotional stress. There also may be links between pagophagia and OCD, which is obsessive compulsive disorder. People with OCD experience compulsive behaviors, obsessive thoughts, or even both of them.
Even mild dehydration can lead to ice cravings, and sucking on ice cubes can cool the body, quench thirst, and moisten dry lips. That's why a lot of times you'll get it when you are at the hospital. The symptoms of mild dehydration are thirst and darker than usual urine. because it's more concentrated. And anyone who is experiencing symptoms of more severe dehydration, such as dizziness, confusion, or the like, requires immediate treatment. And this issue can lead to seizures and actually be life-threatening, although right now it's kind of cold. People with pagophagia and iron deficiency anemia may find that taking iron supplements relieve their ice cravings and should ask their healthcare provider about that.
Okay.
So whether it's contamination or using it in excess, ice can be a tricky substance to monitor and consume safely.
Or breaking your teeth by chewing it.
Exactly. I don't know about you guys, but I think we covered that topic in enough detail. Should we move on to our big news?
Sounds good to me, Ron. Do we get another drum roll? Podcast DX is proud to be able to offer diagnosis-specific healthcare products in 2023. We are currently building our new platform, which should be available on our website in time for our fifth anniversary this April.
Exciting times indeed. And if our listeners have any questions or comments, who's going to edit this? God help them.
Who's going to listen to us anymore?
God help them too.
If our listeners have any questions or comments related to today's show, they can contact us at podcastdx@yahoo.com through our website, podcastdx.com, on Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, or Instagram.
Or you can contact Lita directly.
Yes. And her phone number is going to be posted on the bus sign out in front of my house.
If there's a bus sign out in front of the house, we're going to have issues with our HOA. If you have a moment to spare, please give us a review wherever you get your podcast. As always, please keep in mind that this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment, and always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regime. And never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you've heard on this podcast.